Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Screen. Chapter 17 and verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. How did they receive the word? So that is something that we must consider and pay attention to as we study. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Beautiful scripture. So I will not explain this, but basically what we are doing tonight is to consider more some of the things that we have been hearing. And some of you may not really appreciate this kind of session because nobody is preaching at you or shouting or going into the spirit. But what we want to do is to go deep to the foundation and hopefully lay a strong foundation. And the Bible says knowledge in a man is like a deep well. But a man of understanding, what will he do? He will draw it out. So one of the ways to draw out understanding is by asking questions. When you are with great men, when you ask them questions, they will tell you what others don't hear. So it's important for us not just to read the scriptures, but to ask, why are these things like this? You know, you must be student of church history. You must be student of doctrine. What is the Bible especially saying about things like this? Is the Bible, if anywhere the Bible is silent, don't be too loud. All right? And anywhere the Bible is loud, don't be silent. For instance, this is not part of the study. Are you ready for this one? As far as the New Testament is concerned, there is no clear doctrinal bias or basis for white wedding. Hello? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. What you call white wedding was invented by the white. If it was invented by the blacks, we would have called it black wedding. And many of those wearing the white are not actually pure. So, I leave it to you. So, if you now want to make a justification for why people should get married in church, you must do it outside what you know as white wedding. Because scripturally, it's a family affair. Okay, leave down. Pastor David, who is helping us out? Let's take our first question. So, if you remind me, I will come back and I will address it, because some people now, they will only hear half of what I said, and they will run to their village and pick a woman there. That's not what I said. It's because somebody is already happy now. that I'm saving them money. That's not what I said. I only told you that if you cannot afford white wedding, you can still be married. That's what I'm not saying you have to waste your money and sew a gown. That gown itself is not scriptural. All right. First question.
First question, sir. What is the difference between a carnal Christian and an unsaved person who comes to church?
We have many good people who come to church. Many of them are sometimes in character even better than those who say they are Christians. But a person who is not saved, who comes to church, is somebody who has the potential to be saved and probably become a good Christian. So as long as the word of God is being preached to him, one day he will get up and say, I want to give my life to Christ. That man, if he dies in that state, will go to hell. Even if he's a giver. A natural man, who is the chairman of the building committee, but is not saved, but is the pastor's friend, will go to hell. The pastor, who by one reason or the other, maybe not knowing what to do with his life, became a pastor. Or a reverend father, or reverend canon. Or like my father's bishop, when he was in the Anglican church. But he was in Ogboni fraternity. Ogboni, you know Ogboni? If you are in America, you may not know this one. So, the day the man confessed in church that he is now born again and that he has turned his back on Ogboni fraternity, my father ran away from that church because I have been carrying the cross in front of this bishop for years. And it happens that the holy man of God is a member of the Ogboni fraternity. So a natural man is a dangerous man. He may be a good man, but he's not saved. A carnal Christian is that kind of Christian that, after giving his life to Christ, continues to live his life like an unbeliever. That kind of Christian, if he dies in that case, depending on the situation, he may be lucky and make heaven. Because salvation is based on faith in Christ Jesus. Are we together? But he will be without reward. He won't have reward. He will be a foolish virgin. And to be a foolish virgin in heaven is almost equal to being in hell. Because you are in the midst of people who have labored and who have been blessed with. The Bible talks about different levels of glories. It's not good to be a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian, for instance, enjoys and patronizes secular music. Let me be specific. Even though you say you went for a birthday party and they were singing, I could give you names of your popular musicians. Are we together now? Because when I say carnal, some of you just look at it like it's spiritual. I want to come to your level. So that without mincing words, you know if you are carnal. Paul tells us in the Bible that why is it that there is malice and fighting amongst you? He was talking to a particular church. He said, are you not being carnal? Are you not being babies? Which means signs of carnality also includes malice. Are we together? Jealousy. Unforgiveness. As a Christian, there are signs that you as a Christian, you are becoming what? You are becoming what? Carnal. Self-righteousness. Listening to secular music. Keeping them on your phones. And passwording them. So that nobody will know that's where you kept the song. Dancing to them. Learning their dancing steps. Can I go deeper? Learning that it's after all, it's just a dance. But you know, some of these dances are very sensual in nature. And those who are dancing it know. They know. There's a way you dance, you feel empowered. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a way you feel powerful when you dance. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, nobody's talking to me now. Lord, bring out those who are dancing like that here. Hey, hallelujah. So there's a way you flow with the world and you can feel empowered. Another way to determine a carnal Christian is a Christian who is sympathetic towards the world. Some people are not committing sin. They are not in sin. Like one popular pastor in America who said, he was asked a question on TV. He was asked, can homosexuals and the Christian community live together in the church? And he said, yes. The interviewer had to ask him again, that, sir, do you understand my question? I'm saying, can they be together? Can light and darkness be together? The pastor said yes. He now explained. He said, if you are a homosexual and churches have different doctrines, that you can look for a church that believes your doctrine. Do you know that's a very powerful statement? If somebody is homosexual, the person should be looking for deliverance. But this bishop said, instead of staying in a church that despises you, look for a church that is tolerant towards you. Now, is that statement right? No, please be honest with me. It's from a bishop, but is he right? But if I tell you the name of a bishop, you'll be shocked. So, I'm just saying that you can also identify carnality from those who are sympathetic. They are like, oh, I don't judge. I don't believe in it, but I don't judge them. It's a sign of carnality. So in a way, at the peak of carnality, a carnal Christian is even more dangerous than an unbeliever to God. Because everywhere you go, you will raise the banner of heaven, but you are walking against God. Do not be carnal. Next question.
What? Second question says, what is wrong with singing secular songs?
The problem with secular songs is that songs are spirits. Now, when I say secular, let me draw a clean line between secular and worldly. There's a measure of secular that is not bad. For instance, your job is secular. The job you do every day, you go to work, is secular. They are not preaching the Bible there. They are there to work. That's not bad. Singing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. It's not worldly. Please, are we together? Singing a love song for your wife or to your wife is not worldly. She's your wife. Everywhere is quiet. Should I change that one? Please, are we together? But how do we identify a worldly song? Maybe that question should have been focused on worldly music, not secular. Most of, there's this popular musician in Nigeria, Sunny Ade. If you listen to most of his songs, they are not dirty. Some of them are even like prayer songs, or they are just songs you can sing. You can't find any element of death. They are not Christian songs per se, but they can be sung because they are not really bad. They are not bad. If you just look at the lyrics, they are not bad. Okay? But there's a line. There's a very thin line, and you have to be very careful as a Christian. Songs are spirits. Songs are the language of the soul. You can move an entire congregation saying the same thing, but different responses just by introducing music. Are we together? If I move, you need to move your camera. Okay, can you move the camera if I move? Are we together? For instance, if I come to this meeting and I say, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here, lift up your hands and magnify. You will most likely just lift up one hand for 1 second and you just put it down unconsciously. But if I ask Mike, just step on that keyboard for me, and he begins to play a tune on that keyboard, I will say the same thing I said, but it will have a different effect. It is the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Even the way I've changed my voice, you will know that the spirit of prophecy has come. You will know. So songs are powerful. People listen to songs and they begin to lust. People listen to some songs, they'll go and get up, go and kill, shoot somebody down on the streets of America. So songs have been known to move. It's a very convenient tool for Satan to use. That's why if you want to protect the minds of your children, be very particular about the kind of songs that they give themselves to. Do not allow them. Do not expose them in the name of trying to be liberal. You are not helping them. Because Satan will start little by little. By the time you realize what Satan is doing, they have gone far. Songs are spirits. Even in heaven, the atmosphere of heaven is regulated by music. So worldly music has certain ingredients. Number one, it is sensual. That means it draws its power from lust. Some of those songs that you know, that you hear on the streets, they talk about women, talk about the body of women. They glorify and objectify women's bodies. But they have very powerful beats that even we sometimes we copy into the church. What are other signs of worldly music? They glorify fame, wealth, money, quick success. They glorify people in their songs. Who somebody is praying, oh, I want to be like this person. No, you should be like Jesus because you are created in the image of Christ. You know? So you can, if you have this understanding and you put all these rules beside every song, you will know if the song is just secular or purely worldly. There are some of these songs that are purely demonic, even from the lyrics. When you listen to the content, you will hear things like, I'm going to kill you. I sold my soul to Satan. You hear? Now, no matter how wonderful the beats are, I was watching a guy today. He has tattoos all over his body. Very young guy. So somebody is a rapper. So the interviewer was asking him, do you sing rap? Do you still sing rap? You know? Apparently, I'm not sure, maybe the interviewer did not realize the boy had become a Christian. But he still had all the tattoos because they are permanent. And he had dreads. So the boy said, no, I don't sing, I can't stand to listen to ungodly music. They said, what do you mean? But you're a rapper. He said, oh, that was the old me. He said, I'm a man of God now. He didn't say I'm a child of God. He said, as a man of God, I cannot. He said, because when I was there, I knew what we did. Some of our songs were offered first on the altar of Satan before it got into the public. But you did not know. You just got up and started vibing to it and you thought it was the beat. He said, I know what we did. He said, right now, I don't know which musician is popular because I don't listen to radio. You know, when you look at the extreme level he has gone to, you're like, wow. So some people may not like this, but I think your revelation may help you make that decision. Don't bring Satan into your home. Music is one of the easiest and fastest way for Satan to come in. God bless you. Next question.
What is the difference between a weight and a sin? And why is weight so dangerous?
A weight, I think that's, is it 2 Corinthians 7? Please confirm. Is it Hebrews? Please. Hebrews 12. So, confirm. Now, the scripture talks about a weight. A weight is something that is heavy. The Bible says we should avoid the sin that doth easily beset us. Do you have it? So there are two things there. Paul was talking to Christians. Please give me your ears. Paul, huh?
Hebrews 12:1.
Please read it.
Okay. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us.
Now you see that the writer of Hebrews, who many believe to be Paul, said that because of the cloud of witnesses, and I wish that this was what I was teaching about, I would have told you something that was very dangerous. That there are many people who cannot enter into their calling and their destiny and their ministries, not because they are not anointed, but because the cloud of witnesses have not ratified it. Those clouds of witnesses, they are part of the heavenly council. The Bible says we have come to the spirit of judgment made perfect. We have come unto the blood of the Lamb, unto the holy angels. The Bible gave us a list of people or categories of persons who make up the court of heaven. And these saints are part of that senate. You say, you want to use him? You can't use him. He's not ready. You know, David will stand up. I was like that when you used me. I did not last. Samson will stand up. He is still going to that guest house around 10 p.m. That's how I did. I did not last. So let us keep him in that state for now. Till we see that he has changed. Let's pass him through tribulations. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the writer said that because of this cloud of witnesses, we should do what? He said we should, give me that scripture again.
Lay aside.
You see, the instruction is to pack it and put it aside. Just like when you are studying a book and you are done with it, you close the book and push it aside. Push it aside, because many of the things we call weight, they are personal habits, personal preferences, things that could be part of our daily life. They are not sin, but you can overindulge. All right? You can overindulge. For instance, if your prayer time is 12 midnight, and it's 12 midnight and you continue watching the movie you are watching because you didn't want to miss the episode, but in your heart you know that this is your prayer time, that means you're already overindulging. You have to lay aside. You may need to, you know, this, you are making a law, not for everybody, for yourself, that for the next 3 weeks I'm not going to watch any movie. Because you've seen that you're already violating your own law. Every Monday I fast, for instance. You now tell yourself, well, Monday I just feel like egg roll and buns. And there's one woman on the dial street, she started frying the thing. You just carry yourself there. You now found 1,000 under your bed. Say, this is the money. You now went to pay homage at Iyabiukis. But you know that based on your agreement between you and God, Monday is your fasting day. Fasting means you are fasting. For the period of your fast, you cannot be intimate with a woman or a man who is your husband. For the period of your fast, you cannot eat. For the period of your fast, you cannot indulge in pleasure. That's the meaning of fast. All these lazy pastors online telling you that, okay, when it's time to do 50 days fast, can a Christian fast and still be intimate with the... I just look at you, I say, well, you are not... How are you living before you got married as a Christian? I assume you are a Christian before you got married. How are you living your life every 50 days? So that means you cannot survive as a Christian for 50 days. That's what you are... It means you need the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's leave that one. A weight is something that is not necessarily a sin, but it will weigh you down. It will not allow you to fulfill your destiny. It will not allow you to move fast. You cannot climb the mountain with a weight. A sin is something that is outrightly an error. You touch it, it's a sin. So, but what could be a weight for me may not be a weight for you. So you now need to look at your life and try to identify those things that could be hindering you from fulfilling your destiny in Christ. Thank you. Next question.
How can I determine if an environment is under satanic influence?
How did you hear that question? How can I determine if an environment, maybe the area where you stay, your family, or maybe you for some of us who travel to preach and we have to stay in hotels. How do you determine? I want to use a word, but I don't want those who are in the occultic to misunderstand. I'm not part of you. You understand? That word is frequency. There are certain things you cannot determine if your frequency is low. Please, are you with me? Ha. Are you guys here? I said if your frequency is low, there are certain things you cannot determine. Why certain things could be happening in your life, you may not be able to tell. You only be seeing the result, but you may not know why. The reason why we ask people to pray in tongues for hours is because praying in tongues enhances your ability to pick things in the realm of the spirit. And I'm not talking about speaking in tongues for your problems. I'm talking about praying in tongues to build your spirit, according to Jude chapter 1 verse 20. That means your spirit is built on layers. And on every layer, there are certain possibilities, abilities that you pick up. It's just like in those days, and I think it happens to some phones now. When your battery is low, your phone battery is low, on your BlackBerry, the signal goes off. Huh? You remember? On some of these are phones. When you start making some call, you're on a call, and your battery is like 5%, the phone becomes very hot and very uncomfortable. It's telling you that, Oga, drop this phone. Go and charge. It starts beeping. So if you are trying to browse when your battery life is on 5%, you notice the thing begins to drag. It's struggling. So the first thing you need to know is that you can determine what is going on in an atmosphere by picking the frequency. But to pick the frequency, your own frequency must be higher. That means if what has created the atmosphere is higher than your own level, you will not pick it. But somebody else may come in and say, there's the spirit of death here. But you'll be sleeping in that house, snoring. You will not know anything. Snoring to the highest heavens. The heavens have received your snoring. So the first thing is what? To determine, you must raise your what? Your spiritual frequency. And one of the ways to do that is by what? Praying in tongues regularly. And minimum of an hour every day. And the key there is consistency. Not just that you pray 3 hours today, then you forget about it for 1 month. No. Try to make it consistent. The second thing that can help enhance your frequency is your meditation. Meditating on the word of God, meditating on the power of God, and so on. Those things we enhance. And it is not just, meditation is not just a Christian thing. Even Eastern religions benefit from it. You see them cross their legs, and they meditate for hours, days. By the time they come back, they are different. Meditation works for all categories of human spirits. Number three, there's something going on here. Look out for patterns. Look out for patterns. What happened to the first child here? What happened to the second child here? What happened to the third child? You have 4 children. 3 are already having similar problems. So you can tell that satanic activity is going on here. Now, if you now go beyond the children, and you look at the parents, and you find that something similar is there, that means this thing, it could be a second generation battle. Please, are you with me? Hello? That means it could be what? Second generation battle, which means this thing has been there before you were born. You have to prepare to fight. You can't just fight it by shouting Holy Ghost fire. If that thing now exists on the level of your grandparents, this can't go ahead not, except by what? By fasting and prayer and revelation. How many things have I mentioned now in discerning spiritual atmospheres? You look 3 things. Meditation, praying in tongues, looking out for patterns. Do you know that a pattern may be in front of you and you will not see it? I'm telling you. I picked up some things and I was shocked that for years I didn't even see it. And it was there staring at me in the face. And I've shared the one concerning my son that the doctor said they wanted to operate. You remember? Huh? And my son is the last child of the house. I'm the last son of my parents. They operated me and on the neck, and they also wanted to operate him. The doctor did not ask, oh, sorry, are you born again? Is your child born again? The pattern just acted as if he did not respect anybody. So it's now the work of the father or the parents to say no. Do you understand? And let them just operate him so that we can... You have now moved the battle to his children's generation. His children will now be the ones to fight. Unfortunately, these ones, their generation is alpha. They don't bind, they don't lose. So there are so many ways to determine the spirit in the atmosphere. Another thing I look out for, when I'm in a particular atmosphere, I look for evidence of conflict, high-level conflict. When I see a lot of conflict, and when you ask them, why are you guys quarreling? They are arguing over toothpaste, over salt, over who took the plate first. Yeah, it's my spoon. This is my cup. Once you find those things among people who you expect to be knowledgeable, there's a spirit of conflict here. That's why they are not blessed. So the key indicator here is to have your spiritual eyes open and to be observant. But we could go on. Thank you.
Is being spiritual a work of grace only, or do I have a part to play in this process?
Wow. Beautiful question, Abi. Did you hear that question? Is being spiritual a work of grace only? Huh? Or what?
Do I have a part to play?
Yes, you have a part to play, without wasting time. When a person becomes, a brother becomes a child of God, his spirit becomes alive. But that does not make him spiritual, in the sense of that question. Huh? To be spiritual means that to be spiritually minded. That's what it means to be spiritual. Say those that are led by the Spirit of God are what? So to be spiritual, it's not about the state of your spirit. It's about you being spiritually minded. So when you see a Christian say, I don't fornicate, I don't listen to secular music, it's because of his spirituality. Not because we don't like it. If you allow yourself, you will listen to that music. Some people think it's because we enjoy our life as Christians. It's just not the way you enjoy your own. At least one of our brothers who just got promoted at the bank. And from that night, he wanted to celebrate. He stayed back on the island till like 3 a.m. drinking and celebrating. He just got promoted to manager. And was coming out just after Worode Alakpe had an accident and died. He did not even get home to tell his wife that he got promoted. See how blessed he is. You can imagine. That's how some people... So they say, if we don't know how to enjoy life, I don't want to enjoy life like that one. Because they say, don't drink and drive. So to be spiritual, is to be spiritually... That means your mind is becoming trained in the way it observes and interprets matter or data. So you have a part to play. The part that God has is to continue to give you revelation, the word of God, and guidance by the Holy Spirit. Your own part is to take what has been given and make it your life. Thank you.
What is the role of your thought life in living a holy life?
If you don't keep a clean thought life, you will never be holy. Now that we are saying this, let me throw in this. And please note this. There are one or two things I've noticed brings a Christian's resistance to sin to its lowest level, even when they mean to do right. One of it is stress. As I'm saying this, you be thinking about it. What did I say? Stress. Now, with due respect to the anointing, the best time for a lady to sit down with a man of God and be chatting with him and hugging him is not when he has just finished preaching. Most ladies don't know this. And some of you are very touchy. You like to touch. When a person has been under the influence of the anointing, he has been joined to the anointing, when he steps away from pulpit, that anointing lifts. There is that period of transition. He becomes temporarily vulnerable.
That's why you find some men of God, the moment they finish preaching, they will not allow anybody to enter the pastor's office. If you go to some churches, you can't see the pastor for the next 30 minutes. He needs to see other male pastors talk. Then when he's now stable, he can see you. They will not tell you this one. So I'm just telling you so that you can know. Some people have gone from the pulpit and they went to fornicate. Not because they planned it. They did not understand that process. That when you get home from work, from church, from church on Sunday, you are stressed, you are tired. You are not in the best state of mind to be spiritual. Because you want to sleep. You wake up on Monday, you are still tired, you are fatigued. If your wife decides to have a quarrel with you that day, and your house girl at home begins to say, "Thank you, sir. Good morning." She's speaking Queen's English. You could be in trouble. I'm being very honest with you. You may not accept it. It's okay. So stress can limit your capacity to resist sin because you are tired in your mind. Number two, too much activity. Going up and down, like legitimate work from VI, Lekki, Ibadan, and his work. And if to worsen it, maybe you are even driving. Or if you have the kind of job where you work usually overnight, then they give you 1 day off or 2 days off. If you are not deliberate, you will not have a prayer life. Please, am I making sense? The Lord will help us.
If we are saved by grace, why is fasting and prayer a major requirement for divine power? Why can't we access divine power by simply having faith?
Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately. God doesn't trust any man. God doesn't trust any man whose stomach is full. If you are well fed, God doesn't trust you. You must be hungry such that you desire him. When Jesus went to the baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him, right? And there was even a prophecy that day. Shandalema Santa Yedaba. This is my beloved son. Everybody there, they were busy falling under there, and nobody even bothered to hear the prophecy that was given to somebody amongst them. Meanwhile, all of them were coming as wet, dry sinners, going into the water, coming out as wet sinners. But one of them went in dry, came out with the heavens open. Nobody observed. Nobody saw it. The same way, if God is touching somebody now, it may only be one or two persons here that will notice. But people will say, "I went to that church, nothing happened." You work on your own faith. Because it was the same John that baptized you, that baptized Jesus. But after the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that not true? But he couldn't heal. The Bible says after then, the Holy Spirit drove him. Do you know what it means to drive? To pursue. Led him into the wilderness. To be what? To be tempted. By what? By the devil. Did that scripture record that he was sent there to receive power? Hello? Are we together? These are the principles. So anybody that is telling you that is just lying to you. Now, let me say this. As a pastor, there is an anointing that is upon my life by virtue of my calling. I don't necessarily need to do anything to make that is there. My wife is here. She bears me witness. How many of you were blessed last Sunday? You are blessed. No, don't lie. You do know God is in you. You are blessed sincerely. Now, there was no message by the time I climbed here. Both first and second service. There was no message. I didn't have anything that, this is the title for it. No, everything was when I came here. Scripture and all. But that's by reason of the grace. It's not my own personal study. Because the things I study, I can't share everything. They will break your heart. The things me I read and I listen to, it will make everybody depressed. So I need to keep my own keto diet to myself and allow people to eat pounded yam. All right? So there's an anointing that comes upon me by virtue of my calling. If the Lord calls you, He will apportion to you an anointing for that work. There is an anointing that is upon me by virtue of my relationship with God. That one is different. Now, if that relationship with God is very robust, there will be a union somewhere. Because scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27, that there's an anointing within me that causes me to know all things. And I do not need any man to teach me, for this anointing within me, is inside of me. Out of my belly shall flow rivers. That anointing will cause me to operate supernaturally. But the anointing for this work comes upon. Say, for you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. That one is on my head. But the one of my relationship with God is in my heart. And it's the same thing for every Christian, actually. So the issue of fasting and prayer is just one of the things that the Lord has put in our paths, because man always desires food. Man loves food. Don't believe anybody that tells you, no, I'm not really a food person. You have not seen what you like. Maybe what you like is not in this area. There's nobody that does not like food. You'll be dead without food. And even your soul eats. Your soul feeds on what? Things like music. Feeds on thought, language, emotion. That's what your soul feeds on. And your spirit feeds on the word of God. So every part of your body feeds. There's no lie. Oh, I'm more of a continental. You're a liar. You have not seen what you like. So when the Holy Spirit took Jesus to the wilderness, it was to test the product that they wanted to release for 3 years. To know if he's ready. I don't know if you're with me. So if they had found out on that mountain or in that wilderness that Jesus was not ready, they would have moved him back to his mother's house for another 2 years. That means they have to prolong the day we die. So everything that happened in that wilderness was not really to give him power. He got power because he passed the test. Holy Ghost, give me power, give me power. Cool down. Go and take your belly first. That your belly that likes aku early in the morning, aku, go and take it. Deny it. Don't give it aku for the next 6 months. My friend, a manager in the bank, he said, I must eat a bar every garden, every day, no matter how. See the one I'm looking at him, a old manager. And he seemed like a proud man. So I said, no matter, even if I eat rice, I must eat garden. If I sleep. I said, no wonder you're always going to camp for three months deliverance. It goes to MFM every three months. It's a tonic for three months deliverance. I said, you will go for the rest of your life because you love Eba and you drink Gouda. So fasting is a requirement. But in a day like ours, it's not just fasting of food. Fasting from social media. Fasting from things that you love, which people may not know. It may be fasting from shopping. Yes, fasting from shopping. For those of you who like shopping, you know, you buy and think later. So the Lord will help you.
Yes, sir. Sir, please, recommended that in agreement prayer, one should pray with the same gender if possible.
Yes.
My question is, can I pray with the person I want to get married to?
We expect that normally or naturally you should pray together with somebody you are about to get married to. And if you are really wise and you understand the rules that follow covenant prayer or prayer of agreement, both of you can actually work towards that arrangement. It's actually a good thing if you can work towards it. I'm not just talking about praying. I'm talking about praying. Prayer of agreement. That word agreement is a legal term. Alright? It's just like saying the just shall live by faith. The word just is a legal term. So if your husband to be is able to separate the fiancé from prayer partner, perfect. Because some men, they are very wicked. As they are praying, before you, even while they're praying, they say, sorry, what's for dinner after this prayer? They are still talking about food. Or even before you start the prayer, you ask you, so you say, maybe you should put the rice on the fire while we are praying, so that, you know. So I'm telling you, I know this because I've done it. So I'm just telling you that if you can, your husband or your wife is the best person to develop it with. But both of you must understand the seriousness it takes to be able to enter into that kind of thing. All right? Next question.
Still on covenant, sir. Covenant prayer is very important, as you taught us, sir. Can you shed more light on the quality to look for in choosing covenant partner?
One of the qualities I recommend, and if you want to write, you may want to write this down. Don't look for somebody that is contentious. Don't look for someone that is always having issues with people, is always fighting here and there. Look for somebody that can keep to himself or herself. That's the first thing I recommend. Don't look for someone that is always having issues, and is always fighting. No. Number two, be sure that this person can keep secrets. Very important. You can keep secrets, because sometimes you will share things amongst yourself. And even if tomorrow you are no longer friends, that thing cannot go out. If not, God may raise a judgment against you. Because the Lord himself is the third party amongst you. When you are signing an agreement in court, they will ask for a witness. Abi, you've signed. Maybe the lawyer will sign. Then they will say a witness. Some of you have signed as witness. You did not ask, what's the meaning? You went to sign. Say, Shebi is my friend. Okay. Then they come and carry you. Say, come and tell us what you saw. He said, I just signed though. You didn't see the word. Did you see him give him the gold register? He said, I didn't send to him. He just said, I should sign as witness. Okay. A old building in Lekki is missing. We can't find the building. Say, and you are the witness. You say you saw the house. I said, I did not see anything. Say, you are going to jail. So the issue of So please, you want to look out for qualities such as that. Please, as much as possible, stick to the same gender. And this is based on experience that we have heard and we have seen. Your relationship with your covenant partner can become very intense. If the person, as a brother, is a member of the opposite sex, you may begin to find yourself comparing her with your wife, who may just be somebody that is not really a prayer person. If the person is the head of prayer, like Adeshola, the one that I begin to, you know, I'll just say, you know, I just connect with you. You know, there's a way we connect in place of prayer. You know, the frequencies of the spirit. It may start innocently, but before you know it, I'll begin to despise my wife. Because in my mind, she's not spiritual. So the sake of your eternal salvation, you want to keep it on same gender. Do not go into prayer agreement with somebody who has a weakness for money. Who has a weakness for money. Such people will take advantage of your secrets and information, and they will mess you up. Okay, let's leave it there. The other ones. Next questions.
My question is, how can you help a carnal Christian? Because it can be stressful at times.
How can you
help a carnal Christian?
The only way to help a carnal Christian, I think I've already said a bit about this, is you have to train your mind. The problem of a carnal Christian is his mind. Some people are very holy. They are very righteous. But because they are businessmen, their relationship with money is not godly. I said what? Their relationship with money is not godly. You will hear them saying things like, this one is not church, oh. This one is not church, oh. Let's talk. This is business. Let's talk about money. This is how I do my business. This is how I do my thing. And you see their muscles coming out, and they are becoming very agitated. So you have to look at the mind. And in order to treat the condition of the mind, you must subject your mind to the authority of God's word, or your soul to the authority of God's word. and to subject your soul to the authority of God's word, you have to go to the mind, which is the first ingredient in your soul. Your mind is the knowledge bank of your soul. Anything you know in this earth is in your mind. So if you are struggling with addiction, sexual addiction, and you keep watching all these women who dance under blue light, or have all these singles and pouring water on their body and do all these things, you will never be free. You will never be free. Because for you, just say, even when the person is not fully dressed, but because there's a spirit that has been attached to that person, and you are a consumer of that product, the thing goes with you. So the problem is the mind. You have to subject your mind. Then you have to tell your emotions not to feel anything that is not approved by God. If you find that you are falling in love with somebody, even the person may be a Christian, or fall in love with somebody that is on, go to the place of prayer and mention the person's name until the thing breaks. Yes. Because we need to save your soul. Go to the prayer and say, Lord, from today, I have no feelings, ungodly feelings for Pastor David. Call him pastor so that your mind will be hearing that he's a pastor. Don't sit down there and be saying, he's a godly man. I wish I met him earlier. Forget about that thing. Go and pray. Go and pray and mention his name. Because a lot of people have entered so tight just by looking into people's eyes. Just by looking, bam, the eyes communicate. And you both know something is happening, but nothing is actually happening. So the problem is your mind. And this one takes all of us will continue to work in this on this aspect till we see Christ. Next question.
Okay.
I think so, our time is even...
Okay, just two more questions.
Let's just take two more and we are done. Yeah.
Please talk more about being truly born again and traditions. Can tradition pose a threat to one?
How many other questions do we have?
No, just two questions.
This one from YouTube.
From YouTube?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do we have any question in house?
Just one.
We have two at the back. So let's take this one. We'll honor those who are here. Let's quickly take this one. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Please talk about being truly born again and traditions. Can tradition pose a threat to one being truly born again, especially those age-long traditions?
Yes. A person might have been in church by virtue of his parents being pastors or being involved with church life for so long. You know, Brother Pat here has been in church for so long in ministry. But you know, with all the things you did, sir, people may just assume you are born again. They may not even bother to ask if you like, go to hell. As far as the sound is coming out, where they are okay. You know, some of us may be in church for so long, like my father's archbishop that was not born again. But he has already become a bishop. So it takes a lot of humility to now say, I'm not saved. So age-old traditions, people joining the choir when they should be in foundation class, can be a hindrance to being genuinely saved. People joining the usher when they should be going through Bible study and foundation class can be a hindrance. To be born again means that you have at one time been convicted of your sins, and that standing before a holy God, you will not be justified, and that you are in need of a savior. And on that premise, you come to Jesus and you say, Lord, be the Lord of my life. Make me your child. That is what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian does not necessarily mean saying sinner's prayer. If you say sinner's prayer without conviction of sin, you cannot be saved. It's not the thing we do today. We just say, okay, just lift up your hand. So we have 500 people. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you. Those things are good. If they have been convicted, if you have not been convicted of sin, you cannot be forgiven. You must know why you are asking for forgiveness. So age-old traditions can create a problem, because if you have spent so much time in church, even you will find it difficult to think that you are not a Christian. And there's something about being around for so long. Even if you are close to a pastor, he will not see your error again. The moment I become familiar with you, you say, "Pastor, you are not seeing vision for me." The last time we spoke, you were smiling, so I didn't think there was any problem. So if you are really someone who really likes your pastor, prophesy, don't be too close to you, because once there's that familiarity, he won't say anything about you again. Okay? So that person that is asking that question, if you are not saved, you must understand the place of conviction and that you are in need of a savior. And indeed, anybody who by reason of hanging around church for so long but has not passed through this phase of asking Jesus to be his Lord and Savior is not saved according to scriptures. So, thank you. Let's go to Madam Patricia. If you have any other question after God's power, you still send it, then we'll probably handle it on the Sunday.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So my question is, the ex-same rapper who later became a man of God.
Who?
The ex-rapper you talk about.
The rapper, yes.
Yes, sir, who later became a man of God. So my question on him is, the cartoons on his body, which has been permanent.
Yes.
So my question is, number one, will he make heaven with the cartoons? And number two, how will his listeners feel?
How will?
His listeners.
No, okay. You know, like I mentioned, I met the guy, I just saw him online for the first time today. He was being interviewed. And yes, he will make heaven. Because he has admitted he is a sinner in need of a savior and that he has found Jesus. And he also said publicly that he has turned his back on sin. Unfortunately, the things he has done in the past, some of them cannot be removed again. He is not telling anybody to go and do it. He is also telling you that these things I did are wrong. But I cannot remove my own. Some of those tattoos, some of them are not permanent. But in his own case now, he didn't plan to become a Christian. So that one will not hinder him from making heaven, because anytime you hear him, you will see him preaching righteousness. Huh? But you will also hear him telling you that he did those things when he didn't know. Are we together? So then the other question, there's a big part of that question. They will not feel anything. The reason why I say so is because an average American has tattoos. What the Americans will feel will most likely be anger. That somebody with tattoo is telling them they are in sin. That's most likely what they'll probably want to beat him up. Because they'll feel like, all your face, you can't even see skin. All your face, all the way to your hands, tattoos. You are telling me that you are now a man of God, that we should turn away from sin. So most likely they will beat him up. So I think that one will be a judgment on those who refuse his message. Gospel.
Okay. His own question is,
okay,
when personal prayer is not effective, how can we maintain efficiency in covenant prayer?
Now, the issue of personal prayer, you know, my desire initially was, I wanted to do a teaching on different types of prayer. And one of those prayers will be your personal or communion prayers. And what I've observed is that a lot of sincere Christians today struggle with their personal prayers. Yes or yes? How many of us pray at least 2 hours every day? Wow. Okay. Let me help you. 1 hour every day without fail. Now, that's encouraging. So, you've 1 hour, please. The truth is, for most of us who have regular jobs or whose jobs involve using a lot of muscle, carrying everything, it might be very challenging to have a very consistent prayer life. But it seems to me, in some ways, not all the time, in some ways, that the energy required for personal praying can sometimes be different. How many of you notice that even though you can't pray alone. But when you are with your friends, you can pray well. Uh-huh. There's another deception where when you find that you are not even praying personally again, you start avoiding prayer. That one is a satanic attack. But when you find that you can still pray with people, but you don't have the discipline, so you need to go for counseling before the situation becomes demonic and prayers. Because somewhere or certain things around you are beginning to have a major influence in your life. Things like tiredness. Huh? You wake up in the morning and you just feel like going back to sleep. It's not that you don't wake up by 5. You normally leave the house 6. But you wake up 5. And you will not sleep till 6. So, who understands what I'm saying? You will not sleep, but you will not pray. So, when you observe that you are in that place where you cannot pray, don't begin to form spirituality. Sit down first. Then ask yourself, why am I not praying? You may find that you have no desire to pray, even though you know you should pray. When you find that you have no desire to pray, it is not that desire is not there. It's that something else has taken over that desire. Because you only have one desire. You only have one emotion. And it depends on whatever it does is what you have given it permission to do. So something like your Instagram, early in the morning, just scrolling and liking. I have a friend in this church. She has gone to Canada now. Once you open her Instagram, like. She will just be liking. Once she see Pastor, like. Pastor, like. Pastor Pat, like. Pastor David, like. She will even wait to see the post. Meanwhile, you thought she got blessed. Her own is just to say, I have seen your like. She will leave you and go and do her own thing. Some people will sit down, watch a video, now rewatch the video, and after scrolling through the videos, looking for motivational messages, and how to make money, $10,000 within a month. So when you find yourself like that, then you can tell yourself, if you are married, you can tell your wife, I will be leaving my phones in the parlor. Set up your alarm for both of us. The moment the alarm goes up, get up from your bed and start praying. Don't pray and be shaking your leg like this on the bed. The next time you shake it, it will be after you wake up. So there are some things we do that don't work. Eh? So I will still talk about this at a more convenient time. But please let me just chip this in. It's very possible to have a strong communion prayer life with your fellow believers, but not have a personal prayer life. And I think that if you are actually sincere, you should actually tell that your prayer partner, pray for me. Pray for me first. Like, let's pray now. Because I'm struggling. A lot of Christians don't agree that they are struggling, and that's why they are not free. All right. I think I've answered your question, Gospel. Huh? Is that all? Is that not your question? Gospel power. Where is the power? I thought that was his question. Okay, give him the mic quickly. We have just 2 minutes. While we are doing this, let's pass the offering baskets and we can just give unto the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Like, for you, Seth, you should have stopped when he was. You should have stopped him.
So, my question is, like, I feel there is more to Christianity than just being spiritual. I know spirituality is more about minding spiritual things. Because sometimes if I see anointed people, they're always spiritual. Most times, they always have character deficiency or emotional imbalance. And even so-called spiritual people, too, they have these issues, character deficiency and emotional imbalance. So the question is there more to Christianity than just being spiritual? Or is there a difference between spirituality and being a divine Christian? Praise the Lord.
What do you mean by spirituality?
Like being a spiritual Christian. Like,
I know. What do you mean? Because the word spiritual is not a Christian word.
Okay. Like, where, like,
A Guru Maharaj is a spiritual person.
Yeah.
Huh? A New Age Guru is a spiritual person. Those people teaching you yoga at the gym, they are spiritual people. Because they are teaching you occultism, but you are not aware. So if you say spiritual, please explain what you mean.
I'm talking about being a spiritual Christian.
A
spiritual Christian.
Okay.
Like,
so we are saying, what's the difference between being a spiritual person as a Christian?
Yes.
And
like being divine. Because most time, those so-called spiritual Christian, I don't know Christian, nobody is perfect, but there is that issue of character deficiency and emotional imbalance. So I believe there is a line where we can journey with God, where we can come to a point of perfect alignment, where those stuff cannot be traced in our life. So thus, my question is there a difference between being a spiritual Christian and being a divine, or is there anything like being a divine Christian?
A Christian is somebody who has met the Lord Jesus at a particular point and is serving Jesus Christ. A spiritual person, in terms of Christianity, is somebody who, apart from giving his life to Christ, is living his life under the government of the Holy Spirit. So a spiritual person, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, according to Romans chapter 8, is a man that is led by the Holy Spirit. That is the foundation for understanding what true spirituality is. To separate the word Christianity from spirituality is to create a dichotomy or to look for something that looks like an anomaly, because a Christian is supposed to be spiritual. This is without regard to the flaws, because without justifying weaknesses and struggles that people have, God said concerning David, who killed his right-hand man and married the wife and made the son king, and even fasted that the result, the product of that fornication, the baby should not die. And even went as far as taking the real husband of that man to the center of the war front so that he should be killed. How wicked can a man be? But when he dies, I have found David, my servant. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's heart. So, you have to be very cautious when you use some terms, because the way God sees us, it's not the way. I think many times we make the mistake of trying to evaluate ourselves based on human perfection. But I think what can happen is that you can make less mistakes. And avoid deliberate sins. Please note my language. You can make less mistakes as a human being who is a Christian and avoid deliberate sins. Not that I cannot make mistakes, but choosing to sin because you want to sin. You can grow in Christ and rise above that. But I don't think anybody here will ever get to the level where you will be able to say, I am without error. Because when you get to that point, you will not need Jesus again. So, but it's a robust topic. And I have an idea. You are trying to go into the area of some deep levels of theology, but it's not something we can resolve now. I guess we are good. I will bless this morning. Let me get up now so that hallelujah. Now the goal of today's reflection is so that we can, our knowledge in Christ can be further grounded, and that we are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Because I tell you right now, there are so many things. I'm hearing popular pastors. There are many people who, one pastor said yesterday, he said, I don't need Jesus Christ. He's a prophet in America. He said, I don't need Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ was needed to bring me to God. And after I became a child of God, I don't need Jesus Christ. But he was prophet. You see, so when some of you are wondering why I'm shouting and shouting, it's because I am seeing the wind, the way it's blowing. And some of us follow those people online. They are the ones posting the video. It's these people that posted their video where they say, I don't need Jesus. One of them put a Bible on the altar and kicked it as a football. On a live service, and him and his wife gave themselves high five. So if the Bible has become such an item that you put on the altar and you kick it into the crowd as part of this, you know, no time to pray, no time to worship God, but you have time to kick the ball because you are trying to attract sinners. You want the church to be friendly. So please, you have to, I encourage you, go back, look at some of the things we have discussed today, meditate on them, and come forth with more questions. By the grace of God, we are going to come back after a few more teachings, and we are going to consider other questions from those teachings. But so that we don't just get into a trap of we are always preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching, and at the end of the day, we cannot even say we fully understand. My goal is not that I preach to 1 million people. My goal is that after preaching to 1 million people, God can say, oh, you did a good job, because 1 million people now understand God better. There are pastors who now preach and they will say, you cannot go to... I hear these people. I just sit down in front of my TV and I'm watching them. They are the ones who come to me. I don't go to them. So I imagine how many people are also sitting down on their YouTube and Instagram and seeing the same things. When you find a big pastor who has like 5,000, 7,000 people in his church telling people that they cannot go to God directly except they come to him. But the whole idea of coming to Christ is so that there will be no middleman. Your pastor is there to help you, but your pastor is not there to replace God or to replace Jesus Christ. There are people that they cannot travel if they don't tell their pastors. If not, the grace of God will not follow them. So if you are a leader, you should tell your pastor you are traveling, not for grace, so that for administrative reasons, then peradventure the Lord may have something to say, like, okay, this is not the time for you to travel. Not that you cannot travel. So there's a lot of quiet occultism going on. So you have to be careful. Even when you go to a church, you need to ask, what do they teach here? And many people mask their error in spiritualism. The Lord will help us. So, let's rise in our feet.